things that God has prepared for those that love Him. I wouldn't wish her back. I had her 51 years. She had one, or it was one of the most precious homegoings that I've been a part of. And I've preached hundreds and hundreds of funerals. Not because she was mine. I think Brother Jeff Gardner said close to 800 people viewed her, and over 450 people stayed. If I'd have known that, I'd have took an offering up for sure. I really would have. But Pastor Brian and Pastor Mike Vest both preached, and some ladies in our church, precious ladies, sang, "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see." Wasn't a dry tear in the house, including mine. But it honored the Lord. I had, humbly, I might say, a Proverbs 31 wife. I had a wife far more precious than rubies that walked by my side all these years. Brother back there was teasing about, I've been in the ministry 47 years. That's older than Daniel Boone, but anyway, been there, been doing it a long time. Got involved with camp, retired, semi-retired from that, and that was a day that everybody cried when Nan and I told them we wasn't coming back to stay all week with a bunch of snotty-nosed brats. 37 years going down there and getting up, staying up all night, half the day, you know, and some kid would come up to you. But we thoroughly enjoyed Springs of Life. My wife and I, well, I still support them as missionaries. It's a great camp. They've done a tremendous amount of work. Some of you have been down there. Now, we used to have directors that if they had a Band-Aid or if they had a paperclip, they'd fix what was wrong. You ought to thank God today your kids didn't die at Springs of Life 3 years ago, because the wiring was bad, the plumbing was bad, the roaches even moved out. They were bad. But Brother Chris and Sister Mandy have gone in. I think $2 million, somewhere around there, has been raised through alumni. Let me tell you how God, no, I'll tell you that later. But the camp is totally different than what it was. We didn't just overhaul. They have renovated everything, including the cabins where the young people stay, the cafeteria, the chapel, you name it, they've done it. So it's not the same camp. And they, have they ever been here, Chris? And they're just a fine couple that love the Lord, and I pray that you pray for them. But anyway, we're going to look at Job this morning for a few minutes. Job chapter 14. How close are you? Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Dr. Falwell once said, if you're not in trouble, be patient. It'll come along. If you're saved, you're going to have the trouble. He comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He flees also as a shadow and continues not. And dost thou open the eyes upon such a one and bringest me into the judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Father in heaven, we thank you today, Lord, for your love, for Valley, for a multitude of years, Lord, of being able to stand in this pulpit to assist Pastor Boone and these good people, Lord, to honor you and give you glory and praise. Lord, I know that there's people here today that are lost. I know that there's many that are saved. And God, I only want to see your will done. I thank you, Lord, that you've never taken the desire for me to proclaim the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that I'll never lose it. Thank you for your love and your mercy, for the teaching in Sunday school, Lord, and how our hearts are filled and blessed with the teaching of your word. Have your will today and your way. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 5, seeing his, that would be you and me. Look at this. His days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. That's God. God knows exactly how many months you have and I. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. How close are you? How close am I? We've known babies that have died. We've known teenagers, old folks. I know a lady in Rocky Mount that's 102 years old. She hadn't got to the bounds yet. But I want you to look at that verse and get it in your mind that we have to think, well, I'm ready. You remember the story of Hezekiah? I believe it's in Isaiah chapter 38. The Lord gave him a message, said, go tell Hezekiah he's going to die. And the Bible said Isaiah went and told him, and Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept, and the Lord said, remember all the good that I've done. The scripture tells us that God heard that prayer, he saw his tears, and he added 15 years to his life. Now, some people were telling me that they couldn't understand how such a godly woman as Nancy Andrews could be taken, and it was sudden. I'm just getting ready to watch the morning news, and I heard her fall in the bathroom. Rushed into the bathroom, got her up, started bringing her out into the bedroom. She fell again, and I called 911. Within 4 minutes, 9 technicians were there. They massaged her heart for 15 minutes. They gave her 5 adrenaline shots. But as I saw the eyes begin to dilate, I knew that she had come to that boundary. I didn't pray, God, please save her. I knew that her time on this earth was finished. Can you imagine what she's seen the last 79 days? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. So how close are you, or how close am I to the boundary? Now, if you look at me, you would probably guess I'm about 35 years old. Plus tax. And I won't tell you how much. I'll be 72 at the end of the month. 47 of those 72 years I've preached the Word of God. Is your house in order today? Are you ready to meet God? If God suddenly took you, and that was the prayer that Nan had all the years that we were married. Lord, when it comes my time, please don't let me linger. Don't let my husband put me in a nursing home, which we both agreed to that. I'll take care of you as long as I can. And from the time she fell to the time she went to be with the Lord was less than 37 minutes. And I stood by the technicians and watched them work on her. And I wept, and I didn't want to let her go, but she had came to that boundary. Look at what he says. His months are with thee. What if this is the month that God decides to take you home? Now, the scripture gives us reasons how to die right. First of all, you die saved. Somebody say amen to that one. 1 John 5 and verse 13 says, these things are written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. The great B.R. Lakin, the circuit riding preacher of yesteryear in West Virginia, he said that you might know that you know that you know that you're saved. Don't hope you're saved. Don't pray you're saved. Don't think, well, mom and daddy went to church and they helped plant Valley View. Surely that account for something. Without the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your heart, you're not getting in. I still believe the Bible, what the Bible says. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, I believe that we're living in the last of the last days, that Jesus is going to come sooner or later. I happen to believe it's sooner. This world's not going to last much longer. We fuss about the politicians, Pelosi, Biden, all the rest of them up there and the direction our country's going. We really fuss when we have to pull up to the gas tank and pay $5 for a gallon of gas. Or we go and we want to buy some of those good thick pork chops at Walmart, but we can't afford them. Listen, what's going on is not their fault. Unsaved don't know how to run the country. Let me tell you what's wrong with America. There's a lot right with it. America has forgotten the God that she said she once loved. Only 51% of evangelicals like you and me, that's what they call us, evangelicals, only 51% still believe that this is the inerrant word of God. Now, I'm just a country boy and I believe this. What God said, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. It's forever settled in heaven. So be sure you're saved. Die a soul winner. When's the last time you witnessed to somebody? I was listening to Stanley and about a situation that he was in, where him and the pastor went and visited somebody that happened to be a Catholic, and she told them that and slammed the door in their face. Listen, I've knocked on doors when women have come to the door stark raving naked. Now, it didn't take his dumb preacher long to turn around and run, and I did. I've witnessed to people who've sick dogs on me, and they almost got me, but God let me get in my truck in time. I've had people cuss me and tell me never to set foot on their property again. Why do I go all the time and tell people about the Lord? Because Mark 16, verse 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When is the last time somebody looked at you and said, aha, there's something different about them. I'm going to find out why they're so happy. I like what this brother said in Sunday school. Now, I've been criticized left and right because I'm not on Facebook. I think I'd rather be in this book. Amen. Facebook controls most people's lives, including Christians. Facebook, Twitter, Gwitter, Hitter, whatever it is. And you know what I've come to the conclusion? I don't feel like I've missed anything when I look at some people that stay on Facebook for 8 hours a day, especially our kids. We're in serious trouble today because we don't. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you had family devotion? When's the last time you sit down with your child that's still at home and read the Word of God? Die saved. Die a soul winner. You're going to meet those people one day that you personally led and prayed into heaven. You literally prayed them into heaven. You called their name before God. They finally got saved. And then die loving God's Word. I have found out as a pastor, maybe not you, but as a pastor, I can pretty well wear a Bible out just reading it in about 5.5 years. As a matter of fact, I think it was last fall, family was in, I gave away 7 Bibles that literally were coming apart, worn out, that I'd used preaching and studying over the years. You know, it's a sad thing when your Bible, after 20 years, still looks new. You've missed it. Some of you, the only time you read the scripture is when the pastor says open to a certain scripture. Die with the love of God's word in your heart. And then die honest. Why ain't you cheated anybody? I'm talking about integrity. What do people say about you? Man and I were married 51 years. I never once, not one time, and it was the two of us together all those years, not one time did she ever say anything bad about her mother, who was a very godly woman, or her father, who died in 1958 when she was only 11. She always spoke of them, that how she admired them, how she looked up to them. And some of us don't have any integrity. We got about as much integrity as a little ant in our finger. The Word of God says that we have to die with the right relationship in the eyes of men. One of the things that blessed me so much as I began this message, hundreds of people were coming by. My niece was next to me. My daughter from Michigan was next to me, and I kept moving down the aisle, and they kept pulling me. I like to fellowship. And 3 young ladies, probably in their mid to late 20s, came up, had a bunch of little kids, and they said, "Do you know who we are? I hadn't seen them in 20 years. How am I supposed to remember who they are?" I said, "No, ladies, I have no idea who you are. Your wife, 20 years ago, taught us when we were in the 4th and 5th grade, and then taught 4th through the 12th grade, we want you to know that we're still in church and we got our kids in Christian schools." Now, that's testimony. Amen. That's dying with integrity, because those children remembered, and now they're adults. Now they're raising their kids to fear God. I went to a cookout with a fella on Memorial Day, invited me over, and his oldest son was bragging about how much money he was making at the casino in Benton. I think they call it Rose or Rosie's. And how much tips he was getting and how much alcohol he was serving. This is a 27-year-old man that was raised in the house of God, but he forgot. Now, here's how not to die. I'm going to quote the scripture to you. A few of them we'll turn to, but there's just a couple of things. How not to die. How not to die. Number one, don't die in a far country. You remember the pastor that was here doing your revival, and he was preaching on the two sons, and he went to the son who was upset and angry. And this son here, he said, I want everything that belongs to me. And he went out and he spent it on wine, women, and song. And when it was all over, the word of God said he was feeding the pigs. As a matter of fact, he was in the pig pen with them. Now, Jews were not supposed to touch, just touch a pig. It was considered that unclean. Now, I know some people today that used to serve God, but they're in a far country today. When I was with the pastor a few weeks ago, I was told about a man that anything in church, he went to camp, he put up with those kids, he's a deacon, anything, taught Sunday, anything needed to be done, he could do. He suddenly stopped coming. He won't call the pastor on the phone, but he texts him. Now, let me tell you this. If you want me, you call me. If you text me, you ain't going to get an answer. I want to hear a voice on the other end, not two thumbs doing this. And this man is not quite in the foreign country, but here's what happens. The world says, hey, come over here. Dress like I dress. Look like I look. It's okay. You're a Christian. You call yourself saved. Now, you people are country people, right? How many of you know what hog slop is? Anybody? Put your hand up. Yeah, I mean, you know. And you remember, when I was being raised, Mama kept a 5-gallon bucket outside the back door. Everything that was left over was stowed in that bucket. And then she'd take a little bit of hog feed, not a lot, and she'd mix it all up. And on a hot July, it had an odor. And me and my twin brother would carry it down to the hog pen. You know what? Them hogs ate it up like pork chops and fried potatoes. You know why the hogs ate it? Because they were used to the slop. When you get in a foreign country, the world is going to feed you hog slop. And you'll finally get to the point where you get used to it. Say, hey, this ain't too bad. I should be able to have a glass of wine once in a while. I should be able to do this once in a while. I should be able to dress that way once in a while. Let me tell you, the Word of God says we are different. We are children of the light. And if they don't see the light, they're going to see the darkness. And we're not children of darkness if we're born again. So you try to live your way. Many times it takes great sorrow to cause people to look to the living God. What does God have to do today to get your attention? At this church and churches after church that I've been in, when the altar call is given, people just flooded. Then they get up and they leave. Even some may even cry. And the thing is, they meant business there, but they didn't mean business when they got out there. You think you fooled God? God must be saddened today by the way some of us are living in a far country. If we're not in the far country, we're right on the border. We're just about to say, hey, I have had enough of Daniel Boone. I mean, that guy's been here since God. I think it's time we had somebody new. Is this being taped? Erase that portion, would you please? He just thinks he knows everything. Let me tell you, when God calls you to pastor Valley View Baptist, he will let you know. In the meantime, your job is to pray and to love him and his family. If he has to fight the devil all day long, he doesn't need to fight you. He's got enough on his plate as it is. So don't die in a far country. Then don't die financially in debt to God. before I left, and I'm hoping to be back enough time for a business meeting in the evening service, but you never know. Anytime I leave town, I leave my tithe with the preacher or one of the trusted men. Something I don't understand. How can you trust God with your eternal security, but you can't trust him with your money?
Amen.
Ooh. I knew he was going to get on money. Well, you were right. God gave me $400 this week, and when the plate was passed, I gave him two. What does he want? I mean, God owns it anyway. So I shouldn't have to put up with that. Let me give you a blessing. When I left Mike Vest 2-3 weeks ago, whenever it was, they voted in a business meeting, and I was invited to stay. I didn't vote, but they were talking about camp. They voted, a congregation of 160-some people, to give, are you ready for this? $50,000 to Springs of Life Camp the next day. The treasurer wrote the check that night, gave it to the pastor. He took one of his deacons and went to camp and gave it to him. Boy, that's great. Church has that kind of money. Ooh, that's just great. And I'm coming down off the mountain on Route 11. I don't like 81, so I'm traveling Route 11. And God says, Bobby, that's my name. Once you give that $1,000, you got tucked away. Say, what, God? I just gave my tithe and my offering. You want me to give my last $1,000? I don't argue with God very much. The older I get, the more I find out he's right and I'm wrong anyway. I said, okay, Lord. And I got back that night. Before I went to bed, I wrote a $1,000 check, put it in the mail. They would get it about Tuesday or Wednesday. I said, okay, Lord, I did what you told me to do. And I'm not broke. I got a load of money in the bank. Let me tell you what happened on Friday. I got a check from an insurance company that Nan never told me about. And it was for $7,700. You can't have this check back you gave me. $7,700. God gave it back to me sevenfold. I didn't give it, so he'd give it back. I still had some money, but God blessed me. Why do you hold on to what doesn't belong to you? Good story is, let me see, Joshua 7. How many of you folks remember Achan? I'm not talking about Achan, but you don't remember him? Joshua 7, when you get home, except for Stanley, the rest of you read it. He covered it some really nice raiment. He covered it some gold and some silver bars, so he took them. And he put them under the tent floor of his tent. Nobody saw him. Nobody knew. He took what was not his, which was really God's, and he put it with his stuff. My stuff, God's stuff. My stuff is always a bigger pile. You know what happened to Achan? He died. They killed him. And everything he owned, his family, his children, the gold, the silver, everything he took that he thought he should have, he died with his stuff. They used to say, the kid that dies with the most toys wins. That's not true. So are you trusting God or are you robbing God today? Are you saying, well, that one's got enough money, but I don't have that much. God said on the first day, which is Sunday, give as God has prospered you. Now, Pastor Boone's son might have been prospered $10,000 this week. And Brother Stanley only over there got $1.25. God only expects you to do what he's already told you to do. Some give a whole lot, some give a little bit. So how can you trust God with your eternal security as a Christian, but you can't trust him when it comes to money?
Amen.
Then I want to read this one to you. I want you to go over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. It's sad today that so many, we wonder why our country's in the shape it's in, but we as Christians, nobody can beat it when it comes to fussing about what's going on. The Hebrew children did it coming out of Egypt, and we do it today. Just ain't fair, God. Chapter 12 and verse 15, number 3. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. It's not talking about being lost. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby, what's it say? Many be defiled. Don't die with bad feelings toward others. Well, you don't know what they've done. God does, and God is forgiven. If God's forgiven, why can't you? Well, I'm just a human being. You forgive through the Lamb of God. You look at people who have offended you, who have betrayed you, who've stomped on your feelings. You look at them through the eyes of Jesus Christ, and you forgive. I just can't do it. So your grandmother and your great-grandmother and your great-great-grandmother, somebody offended them 100 years ago, and you're still carrying the grudge. They shouldn't have done that. Maybe they shouldn't have. But you should have forgiven them a long time ago. Don't come and say, God, I'm so sorry for the sin I've committed, except where that rascal betrayed me. I don't want to forgive him. No. Not me. And so while you keep those feelings, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren see it in your life. God may not allow the sword to come up on your home, but he might let it come up on your child's home or your grandchild's home. Many thereby will be defiled. Learn how to forgive. You know, Jesus forgave Judas for what he did, even though he knew Judas was going to do it. Well, if Jesus forgave him, why didn't he go to heaven? Because Judas did not accept the forgiveness of the Lamb of God. He lacked that money. Don't die with bad feelings. Bitterness comes into our hearts. It comes when we allow disappointment to grow into resentment. Man, they just shouldn't have done that. We were such good friends. I just don't understand how they can do that. Then we nurse those grudges over past hurts, which brings jealousy, dissension, and eventually immorality. The Bible says that the Spirit of God can heal the hurt that causes the bitterness. There was a gentleman in our church. You may have one or two of them here. He ain't never wrong. Never. I didn't say a woman. I said a man. He is never wrong. And he brags about all that he has. I've seen him embarrass people, including me, in front of multitudes of people. And then come back up and say, I'm sorry. And I ask him, are you really sorry? If you're really sorry, you'll correct the attitude that you have. Nobody's right all the time except God. We have a lot of pride. Psalms 14 verse 1 says, don't die a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now you corner an atheist, you get them down and you get them to be honest. They're going to admit to you privately that there is a higher being. But they don't want to admit it publicly. You know what God says? You're a fool. Are you a fool? You come to Valley View. I'll figure out it sooner or later. The fool is the one who rejects God. We live in a society, folks, where every week slaughter is going on. And we blame that on guns. It's not the guns that kill, it's the people that's behind them. Amen. Now, this is an NRA church if I ever saw one. We believe in bearing arms, right? Amen. That's the Second Amendment that's guaranteed us. Why are kids killing kids? Why does somebody hate blacks so bad they'll go to a supermarket and shoot up? Or those 19 precious kids in Texas, forever gone. And we say the laws need to be changed. What needs to be changed is we need to come back to the God of our fathers. Amen. And we need to do it now, today, June the 12th, 2022. We don't need to wait until our child is killed or somebody runs over us. Or somebody you're watching, if you watch TV, I get discouraged, I don't even cut it on anymore. So just walk up and sucker punch somebody, knock them out. One guy was knocked out so bad in New York subway that he died from the punch. And what's the DA say? Well, give him a couple of months. He didn't mean to do it. We're living in a society that cares about nobody but number one. I don't care about the family. I don't care about the church. Look at our church. Look at your church. That people that used to serve God. And then finally, don't die in the wrong family. You hate the truth. You like your lies. The day that my wife died, I went on to be with the Lord. Jeff Gardner was there. I called him. He came right over. A lot of y'all know Jeff. And Pastor Brian. After they got finished, they did what they always did. They covered up with a sheet, waiting for the next group to come in to pick up the body. I'm standing at my counter in my kitchen. I got an open kitchen, living room type home. And if you die in the home, at least in Roanoke County, you got to wait till a police officer gets there to make sure there was no foul play. So we're there and we're waiting on the police officer. We're waiting on the people to come to get her. And the police officer is standing there, and she's about 44. And she's looking at this picture on my wall. Now, I've had this picture about 46 years. I picked it up in Richmond. It's a picture of the rapture. Some of you might have seen it. Some of you didn't. She kept looking. I said, Miss, do you know what that is? She said, no, Mr. Andrews, I ain't got no idea. I said, come here. Who's that in the clouds? She said, I had no idea. I said, that's Jesus. What's all those little white ghosts coming out of the grave? That's the people that are being resurrected at the trumpet. I said, do you know the Lord is your Savior? Not 1 hour after my wife died, I got to witness to somebody. She looked at me and she said, well, preacher, I don't know how she knew I was a preacher. She said, I'm Catholic. And I thought, oh, here it comes. I'm going to purgatory first. And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, as kindly as I can tell you, you're going to miss purgatory and you're going to bust hell wide open. She said, you got the nerve to tell me that and I'm wearing a gun? I said, yes, ma'am, I got the nerve to tell you that. I wasn't backing up, but my young preacher was backing up. I'm sitting around the counter that evening. My great niece from Massachusetts is there. She's Catholic. She's no longer Catholic. She said, all I got to depend on is the bottle. I said, let me give you something that'll help you more than the bottle. And I started witnessing to her. She said, well, I'll think about it. I said, I wouldn't take too long if I was you. Two people within 12 hours of my wife's home going, I got to witness to them. Perhaps that was the reason that God took her at that moment, so I could witness to those two people. Amen. Point blank, heaven or hell, no in between. God loves you. God cares about you. She said, well, I'd like to know more, but I don't have a Bible. I'll take care of that. Amen. I said, within 3 days after you get home, there'll be a Bible, an old King James Version Bible in the mail just for you. And I shipped it, and I haven't got it back, so she must have kept it. And I encouraged her to read John chapter 3 over and over. You see, if you're here today in closing and you die, most of you are saved. But if you're not, you're in the wrong family. There's only two families. God doesn't have any grandkids. You're either in His family or you're in the devil's family. The only way to get into His family is to accept Jesus Christ. Most of you have. The only way to get into Satan's family, just keep what you're doing and die lost. Just keep believing the lies of the devil. I just don't believe God will send anybody to hell. He won't. You're sinning yourself when you say no the last time. In closing, the verse said, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. God knows exactly how many months I'm going to live. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. When your time comes, no amount of praying, boo-hooing, shouting, jumping up and down, how much money you got, how many kids you got, none of that's going to make any difference when you're in my time comes. So how close, in closing, how close are you to the boundary? Well, preacher, I don't know. God did not promise Nancy 74 years. He gave her 74, but he didn't promise that. He hasn't promised me 2 weeks I'll be 72. Unless I cross the bound before. And when you hear that I have died, take this to heart, like I told some of you during the revival meeting. I ain't dead. I'm more alive than I'll ever be. Amen. And I'll be walking the streets of gold. Amen. And I'll sit down with people like Job and others. And I'll see Nancy. Nancy and I are no longer married. The death separated us. Till death do you part. She's gone now. I had a lady call me and say, Bridget, yeah, you want to come to dinner? I've eaten this woman's cooking. Yeah. I mean, she can cook. I said, who all's going to be there? Just me and you, Pastor. I said, no, thank you. She said, why not? I said, ma'am, as gently as I know how to tell you, I had the best. I'm forgetting the rest. I'm not interested. All I'm interested is that you know, get out of the far country. Don't die with bitterness in your heart. Don't die a fool. Don't die in the wrong family. Don't die in debt to God, because you may be at that boundary right now. Let's pray. How close are you? People were shocked when Nan died. Nobody was expecting it. She certainly wasn't. I wasn't. She never had any heart trouble in over 35 years. Boom. Gone. Cause of death? Heart attack. You may get the news this week that I'm gone. I may hear about you. We just heard from our song leader brother. One of your loved ones died this week that you've been praying for. If she was saved, she's with Jesus. That's all the comfort we have. That's the hope we have. I don't go to the cemetery and say, oh, Nancy, I sure wish she was here. I wouldn't wish her back if I could. I had her 50 years. She's with the Lord. Boundary, how close are you? Father, we look at these faces today and we know that most of them, Lord, claim you as Savior. And how I pray that they are. Lord, just to briefly tell them, how close are they? You've set our months, Lord, and we can't go past it. It's all determined by thee. You give life, you take it. I pray, Father, we'll live every moment thinking this could be the day we could die. This could be the day you will come and take us to be with you. For those that are lost, Lord, help them to realize there's only a heaven and there's only a hell, and they must choose which place they desire to be. Have your will today, in Jesus' name, amen.